This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello, welcome back once again to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. We missed a week last week for the first time in a little while. For one reason or another, we didn't quite get the time to squeeze in a full episode for you. We did have a brief chat about all the fallout for Port Vale, but we sadly ran out of time for the rest of the show. And yes, perhaps it's a testament to the podcast that you've never realised that we do sometimes record in sections rather than full shows. Good news, everybody. Ollie is back, raring to go for another half-hour discussion regarding all things Pompey and the wider footballing world this week. It's nice to be in your company, as always, mate.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Firstly, like you said, we want to apologise to you guys, you listeners out there, because we did miss a week. It wasn't planned to miss a week. We attempted to fit the recordings in around our schedules. However, it came a bit unstuck last week. So we did have a brief chat about Port Vale and the fallout of what happened there. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough to get together a full episode for you. But this week we are back. We're back stronger, as the old famous Peter Crouch podcast would say. And we're here to stay for a bit longer now, to the end of the season, and talk through the exciting prospects that are ahead of us.
Only a couple to go in this series of the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast, by the way. It's scary how we're getting there, aren't we? It's a big shout out to little Reese this week, who I know is also listening, always listening to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. Also a massive thank you to Alex Masters, who left a very kind comment for me on our Utilita football partnership with the club that was released a few weeks ago. And thank you to everyone who's commented saying that. Nice words on what they watched from Utilita. He said, "Congratulations, Tom, for the recognition you rightly deserve with this. Your channel is now part of many kids' match day experience, and I always follow your post-match Sunday Live and midweek podcast." So thank you. So thank you to Alex. And there's your shout outs this week. Of course, again, it goes without saying, but we are delighted with the support across our platforms recently. There are some exciting announcements to come in the very near future, which I'm sure will be of interest to you listening too. So as soon as we have more on that, we will let you know. To start then, let's begin away from focusing on a game or a specific player, Ollie. 30 points from a possible 48 since John Mousinho's arrival. One of the best records of any team in that space of time if you compare the numbers across the division. What a great time for things to be on upward trajectory. But more importantly, what a fantastic job the special... But more importantly, what a special... God.
What a special job that John has done.
What a special job. What a fantastic job the special John is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy, personally. There was a lot of question marks around his appointment, obviously, when he came in. I mentioned quite early on that we just need to show some support. I'm happy we've got like a young and upcoming manager coming through. He's done a great job for us so far, comparably to, you know, you look at where we were with the same kind of run of games prior to that and how many points we scored in that space. You know, he's turned us around fantastically well. Everything is more positive than it was back at the start of January. And yeah, I'm super happy. And I'm sure that you know, that's echoed amongst all the Fratton Park faithful, really, that he is doing a phenomenal job for us at the moment. And he's kept us in a position where we didn't really think we'd be. You know, we thought that playoffs were long gone out of the question. And here we are sat here speculating about it still, with only a handful of games left to go.
So, and now with six games to go then to play with Pompey, now just 3 points off the... What is going on tonight? Albeit with a handful of congestion greeting us if we look up the table in terms of teams around us. Do you think we're in with a shout?
I do. I really do. I think that the Port Vale game was a missed opportunity. I think that was a real chance because if I'm right in thinking... Peterborough lost to Derby that weekend.
Yes.
They lost 2-0, which obviously that left them basically standing still in essence, because obviously Derby already above us already, but they were 3 points behind Peterborough. So that win actually brought them up to the same amount of points, which has made the playoffs that ever 3 points closer. Although we have closed the gap by a point still in that game, we could have closed it by two more and we could be sat here today going, you know what, we are literally 1 point off the playoffs with six games to go. It's all to play for.
Not only that, that would then have been four wins on the spin after the Sheffield Wednesday loss as well. So that's a factor to take in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've said before we're not going to win every game. I think that the Port Vale game, I know we're going back a couple of weeks now, but that really was an opportunity for us to win.
The game we could have won as well, actually.
Yeah, it was a game with a lot of opportunities there for us. You know, obviously the missed penalty doesn't help. But, we still bounced back really well. We were still very strong going forward. We were still attacking and aggressive towards the end of the game. So, you know, I felt like the actual performance, it probably wasn't our best performance overall in terms of a full 90 minutes. However, I believe we did enough to deserve to win that game. It was a shame that we didn't, and I think that's part of football. But we're still sat here in this position now, sat there going, you know what, we've got 6 games left, we're 3 points off. Now, that is a serious fighting chance. And you look through the fixtures that we've got left, you know, we've got MK Dons coming up away this weekend. Now, I know that last season we lost to MK Dons, I believe, at their place.
We haven't actually won there since 2018. It's been over 5 years since we've won a game there in the league.
Yeah, I went to watch us there. I think it might have been 2020. I went to watch us play MK Dons. Or maybe even 2019 when we first played them. And we lost 2-0 and we were terrible. So I know that we haven't had the best of trips to, what is the stadium called? Is it a Stadium MK?
Stadium MK.
Yeah, we haven't had the best trips there. So it will be an interesting opportunity for us to go into their new management. Obviously, a bit more confidence in the way we're playing at the minute. We're pushing up table. You know, our record since Mourinho's taken charge sort of speaks for itself. Like you said, 30 points from 48. I would argue there's probably not many teams in the league that are beating us in terms of that kind of a win rate in recent times. We're going into that game against MK with a good opportunity to win. And that's the way we've got to be thinking. We've then got Morecambe at home on Monday night. Interesting.
It's Monday afternoon. It's bank holiday Monday, isn't it? You coming?
No, I won't be. I've got to work, unfortunately.
Are you working? Are we open? Sorry.
Some of us are earning a crust that day.
Sorry.
Are we open? Saturday.
This is a conversation for during the day, not on the podcast. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so Saturday the 15th, we've got Shrewsbury away. That's a really good opportunity. We've got a tough game following that, Oxford, which is a Tuesday night game away to Oxford. That is going to be a real tough, but I'm hoping with Mourinho's background, he can get the players really riled up and ready for that and well prepared for that as well, because he'll know how they're going to come at us and all the little tactics and intricacies they'll have. So that'll be a real test, I think, and that may be the swinging point to whether we get playoffs or not that game. Then we've got obviously Accrington at home, Derby away, which is a tough game, and then Wickham at home to finish the season. So the last two games, I think, are tough ones. Really, the last 3 out of 4 are quite hard games. But that's where we need to show our mettle, really. And either prove ourselves as a team that are, you know, in for a promotion shout. And I think that if we get ourselves in the promotion points by the end of the season, that we would have proven ourselves in terms of the way we've come back towards the end of the season, really deserve that space, and also hopefully push on for a possible Wembley trip.
Either way, it's very exciting to be able to think that we were 15th when Mourinho took over, having lost 3-0 to Bolton at the absolute wit's end of every single one of those Pompey fans. We're about 1,000 of us that day up in Bolton. And I just remember it wasn't even disappointment. It was just complete numbness on the faces of everyone that day. To think that we are now within a stone's throw of, you know, you get this big Easter weekender out the way with 6 points, providing other results. Of course, I mentioned at the top there how we have a bit of a, what was the word I used? It was quite a good one, so I'm going to try and use the same word again. The congestion that greeted us, should we look up the table, as we probably will do. But you get that Easter weekend at the way, Ollie, and even perhaps if you maybe stretch it to win all 5 of your next 5, if you can. Realistically, do we have to win every game and have the maybe draw 1? It really has to be quite that relentless to guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not much room for error.
No, there isn't a huge amount of room for it. I mean, we're at the fighting end of the season now, aren't we? There's going to be a lot of teams. I believe as a squad, we're in a good place. I think we got a lot of very good fit players at the minute. We don't have an awful lot of injuries which are causing us problems. So we're in a quite a strong place, but other teams around us might not be in such a strong place. You know, this is a point in the season where generally everyone's getting a bit physically tired, exhausted. It's been a long, hard season to this point. They've been battling week in, week out in League One. So, that's tough physically on your body. You know, the challenges that you're getting put against you, all those kind of things. So there's going to be some tired teams out there. We seem to have this very almost youthful, bounceful energy about us at the minute. And we seem to be really up for it. So I'm not saying we need to win every game, because I think that the teams around us will drop points between now and the end of the season. So if, you know, we can just, I know it sounds really silly, we just got to better them by 3 points. That's all we need to do. But it's whether we want to better them by 3 points and sneak into sixth, or whether we want to go out and go, you know what, we're actually 3 points off fifth at the minute. I think fourth and third are well out of the way with Barnes and Ipswich. They've kind of ran away with it, haven't they? So, but do we want to put ourselves in a solid fifth space, like, you know, go into last game of the season not needing that win? And if we do that, are we then going into that the playoff spots in a really confident, in-form position? You know, I still think it's going to be tough with those top four, whoever lands in the playoffs come the end of the season. That, you know, the playoff spots all possible for all of them. But if whichever one of those four land in the two other playoff spaces, I think there's going to be a real tough challenge ahead to get through into the champ. But even if we get ourselves there in the first place, that'll be a massive achievement.
I think we've kind of done the reverse of what we'd normally do and kind of go big picture before we start honing in on some of the games. And I think that's what we'll do now. What we'll do now. What a funny way that was. There we go. I honestly don't know what is in the water tonight, but there you go. Not my finest presenting hour, everybody. Let's chat Forest Green on reflection from the weekend then. And we had a bit of conversation about it in the video. We also mentioned it on 4-0 Sunday Live last weekend. First 51 minutes in terms of performance, I think we looked really great. Forest Green unlocked a little bit after that, and we fell back somewhat and perhaps just kind of seemed to sit on the 1-0, but also plenty of chances to reflect on too, Ollie. Overall, a win's a win, and 3 points is 3 points and all that kind of thing. We've mentioned goal difference here on the podcast before and how important that is, and myself and Ollie have the luxury of looking at a we're not in the same building tonight for the podcast, but we are sharing we're actually sat in a 4-0 Sunday Live studio. If you're one of our viewers, you'll know that we get a chance to look at the table and compare odds and stats. And we're looking at the table here, and you'll be able to see, Ollie, that we have the worst goal difference of all teams above us in terms of the plus in that end column next to the points. You know, it's only worse in the top 10 by Shrewsbury, who have 10 goals less than us. But everyone else is relatively within a 5-goal profit of us, really. So you've got to be bearing goal difference in mind when you're reflecting on a 1-0 win against Forest Green and think, well, maybe we should have maybe done better and put a few more past them, considering they've conceded the most in League One this season. 72 goals they've let in.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. You know, we had an opportunity in that game to score a number of goals that we didn't take, but at the end of the day, we got the 3 points, and that's the most important thing. I think come down to the end of the season, if it's coming down to goal difference, then, you know, we've made our bed this year. I think we've had lots of opportunities where we could and should have won games that we didn't, Port Vale being one of those, and others sort of spring to mind coming to, you know, towards more the start of Mourinho's era. Was it Peterborough away? We drew 2-2. We had an opportunity to win that game as well.
Lost. Well, could have drawn. Yeah.
Drawn. We've had opportunities to get points in other places. So if it comes down to goal difference and we don't quite make it, then that's just part of football. I don't see us making up that goal difference between now and the end of the season. We are scoring a lot of goals under Mourinho. That's the other thing. You know, we are winning games when we're winning them generally quite convincingly. We haven't had many 1-0s to this point. So who knows? Who knows? Honestly, I think that the focus needs to be getting points on the board and beating the teams around us. I mean, we've got Shrewsbury and Exeter in our final games of the season, both of which are currently sat in 10th and 11th, but they're kind of in no man's land. They're 6 points and 8 points short of us. They're not really in a place where they're going to be attacking the playoff spaces at this point in the season. So I think for them, it's very much just a wind down towards the end of the season. We'll have opportunities to pick up points in those games if we set out correctly. And then it is really going to come down to those final games. You know, with Wickham being last game of the season, that might be the decider for us. You know, if us and Wickham have a good run of form and we're both in that sort of sixth, seventh position, we may come down to last game of the season against them, who gets the playoffs.
We keep segueing to the playoffs. Let's talk about Forest Green.
Sorry.
It's all right. But I mean, genuinely, it would be nice to be in a position where we track the run of the kind of the wins for the next five and then have those games against the current eighth and seventh place sides to go, right, win these, leapfrog, in you go. And that's all the excitement that comes with it. John Massino mentioned ball speed after the game as something that had been worked on during the week. And I think it was on show against Forest Green. The tempo is pretty good. The ball carrying threat through Jacobs and Tom Lowry. I've just shown Ollie some of the chances that we had. Tom Lowry obviously looked excellent. And maybe the one negative is to not come away with more than just the one goal. And as you say, I want to take issue with the goal scoring thing because we had scored eight goals in our last five games before Forest Green. You're absolutely right in terms of the amount of goals that we're scoring. Nine goals in six games is obviously not a poor record at all. But to be so free scoring and only against one of the teams that's taken so many in, people might be sat there thinking, well, we should have put a handful more past them.
Yeah, I think that can sometimes fall into a little bit of complacency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying we went into that game complacent because we did create a lot of good opportunities. And like you mentioned there, you know, the way in which we attacked the goal in that game, if you look back through the highlights of it, you know, we were very pressing. We, like John was saying, we moved the ball extremely well, extremely quickly, which fed into spaces and kind of bamboozled the defence. But it didn't quite fall for us in those opportunities. You know, we always had an open goal that we knocked it wide of at one point. So we weren't prolific in front of goal in terms of hitting the target. But that's one of those games sometimes when you go into it, you get 1-0 up and you're creating so much that it almost feels like you could score whenever you want. But consequently, you don't because you're so relaxed about, you know, it doesn't matter if I miss this because there's another one that's going to be coming my way in the next 5 minutes and these guys aren't going to score against us because they're rubbish. And it's kind of like the mind. I'm not saying that's what what they are. What I mean is that's the mindset that kind of starts to fall into place. So that there was a missed opportunity there for us to go and, you know, win 4-0 really and chuck some extra goals in there. But at the end of the day, we got the 3 points and that's the most important thing.
OK, let's move on to our big Easter weekender then coming up this weekend for Pompey. As Ollie's mentioned to earlier on, we've got a trip to MK Dons on Friday and then Morecambe at home on Monday. And as I mentioned as well, it's an opportunity to get 6 points in the bag and really be saying, come on to League One. Perhaps more than anything, a chance for Pompey to right the wrongs of the record at MK, Ollie, that we mentioned earlier on. And, you know, we said that it's been a good 5 years since a Pompey win in the league at their place. So with what's set to be over 4,000 of us there in just a couple of days' time and tomorrow, by the time you're listening to this, you know, it's got to be one where we turn up, have the backing and go, you know what, let's have some of this.
Yeah, I think so. I think, as you boys will see, all 4,000 of you that decide to go to MK this coming week, you'll notice it's probably one of my favourite League One stadiums in terms of the layout. I think it's extremely well put together, obviously excluding Fratton Park, clearly. But it is one of the nicest stadiums you go to in the league. You know, it's surrounded by a Hilton Hotel.
It's a shame it's empty.
Yeah, and this is the thing that's crazy about it. You know, we're probably going to take as many fans there that they will. And the difference being we'll actually bring an atmosphere with us. So it's going to almost feel like a bit of a home game in a way when we get there, which can be quite unsettling, I guess, because the team isn't really expecting that. And we do bring the noise. So let's just hope that the players can really react to that. And like I said, that we are owed a win there as a team. We're due one, really. We're a better side in terms of this season, the season before and the season before that, than MK. We have, you know, a better setup. We shouldn't really be dropping points there every single time we go to that stadium. So we really need to nip this one in the bud and go out there and get those 3 points.
And let's not forget the last time Pompey played MK Dons in the league, Danny Cowley was still the manager. And actually that one pretty much ended his career as Pompey manager in terms of it was his penultimate game in charge, and it's probably one of the final nails in the coffin that provoked the Eisners to go, you know what, we need to sort this out a bit sharpish because we are on a bit of a sinking ship and a beeline for heading right down the division. What do you think MK Dons will be expecting from Pompey? And we should say they'd be rather buoyant at the moment because they've had some decent wins against teams around them, they've really had a resurgence, and they were rooted pretty much in the relegation zone for large parts of this season. But they'll be obviously aware of Pompey's arrival and the amount of football that we have to play and the prospects for us this season. You were actually there as well the last time we played MK Dons at Fratton Park, and you know, Ollie is a Pompey fan, and it's not, I'm not making a point that he was only there for that game, but at the same time, you'll remember it vividly how poor we were that day, and how much the boys will be wanting to put that wrong right as much as the fans will want to be seeing a win on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you guys listening are watching the channel on, I think we've been very vocal about MK throughout our time, either on the podcast or on the video itself. But that was a real low moment, you know, in watching Pompey. It was actually one of those moments where I went to the game and I thought, I can't put up with this. I really can't put up with this. Like, it was one of those where there was so much anticipation of how well we started the season, and then this sudden realisation of how far we'd fallen and how poor the performance was and how lacklustre it all was. And it was a miserable day. It's got to be one of the most miserable days. You know, I've watched us be relegated two seasons on the trot and have points deduction and be in administration, but I can't recall many moments where I felt more miserable watching Pompey than that game against MK. That was dreadful. Even the fans' reactions, everything about it, you know, the whole atmosphere in the place was negative, angry, frustrated, you know, all of those things. And it was showing. And I think that's what forced the Eisner's hand to make that change. So the boys owe us a turnaround against MK, I think, as fans. And hopefully that they can really harness that energy and push it into, you know, a real positive change for us and showcase, you know, why we deserve to be in the playoff spaces and who we are as a club, not just roll over at MK, accept another loss because we're not very good there. You know, we need to be battering them.
And one of the side at the other end of Pompey's Easter weekender are Morecambe, who've played the most games in the division. They've played 40 games, which is actually the most of, I think it's pretty much, yeah, it's any side in the league. They've played more than every single side in the division. They are 4 points from safety in League One at the moment, with obviously two teams above them in Oxford and Accrington having two games in hand on them. Team below them, Cambridge, also have two games in hand on them. So they're in a pretty precarious situation, Ollie. They will be coming to Fratton Park fighting for the points. But if you needed a game in which you'd need to win at home after not a lengthy trip, but after a game on a Friday and then straight into a Monday at a tough place to go and somewhere where you don't have pretty good history in terms of points-wise at Stadium MK, you'd probably want it to be, with no disrespect, against a side like Morecambe.
As you mentioned, you know, MK, we had at the start of the season, you and I had a little chat about predictions, and we felt that MK were going to be a strong side this year.
Did we?
Well, I did. Yeah, I put them down as a possible promotion runner, MK. Oh. I thought they'd come out strong with what they spent in the summer. I thought they were going to be in a good place, and they've had an absolute shocking season. But then similarly to us, you know, I thought we'd be a lot higher than we are at this point in the season, yet we are where we are. So, you know, football's a weird and wonderful thing. MK are obviously 5 points safe at this moment in time.
I was right in saying Morecambe are 4 points from safety, though, aren't they, in it?
Yes, correct. They are 4 points in the negative at the moment. Yes. So, relatively, MK aren't really fighting for their lives too much. If they lose the game, it doesn't matter. You know, because relatively, are Accrington, Morecambe, Cambridge and Forest Green going to get to 40 points to knock MK back and Oxford? You know, that's kind of where they need to be. They need two of those teams getting to 40. Now, arguably, Oxford could get to 40 and Accrington could get to 40. Morecambe's a bit more of a challenge, so is Cambridge, so is Forest Green, considering that Morecambe have only won 7 games this season. Mm. You know, they've conceded 68 goals in 40 games. So they're conceding, what, nearly 2.5 goals a game? That's not a very good statistic, really, is it, for them? So I think that the MK game is going to be a more relaxed game from MK's perspective, because they're not fighting for their lives anymore, which may give us an opportunity to go and steamroll them at home. But then the Morecambe game might be a different kettle of fish, because they are fighting for their lives. You know, that they need to win the game against us. They need to win the game this weekend. They need to get as many points on the board as possible. So that is going to be a lot more of a physical challenge, I think. I think they'll be going to be throwing themselves in front of the ball. Yeah, at the end of the day, it all depends how their manager sets them up and how he talks to them and communicates to them. But if I was in charge there, that's certainly what I'd be saying. I'd be saying, put your body on the line for the club and the shirt and show the fans why you deserve to stay up this season and let's not get relegated. However, from our perspective, you know, we are, what, in the region of 13 places above them. We're in a much stronger place. We're in really good form at the moment. So we arguably, even though they're going to be fighting for their lives, we should go and batter them. I see that this weekend is a really good opportunity for 6 points for us. And, you know, if we do get those 6 points, I think we're going to creep closer to sixth. I think we're not going to get to sixth with those 6 points, but I certainly would say that we're going to be within, you know, 1 or 2 points come the end of that moment.
Just bear in mind, Wickham are travelling to Portman Road, home of Ipswich Town, on Friday as well. So
that's going to be a tough game with the form that Ipswich are in, isn't it? You know, Ipswich have been phenomenal all season. So, but then Wickham could also cause an upset. You know, they're a very strong team. They're a very physical team, Wickham. There's no reason why they couldn't go there and cause a problem. But I do think that's more Ipswich's to lose rather than Wickham's to win. There's an opportunity to leapfrog Wickham. Who have Derby and Peterborough got this weekend? Do you know?
So Derby are playing Forest Green, but that is away from home, and it's somewhere where Sheffield Wednesday went and lost a couple of weeks ago as well. So I know we probably say, oh yeah, you know, you certain what am I trying to say? You obviously Forest Green has been an absolute disaster season for them, and I think maybe without being disrespectful, a season that they probably expect, given how, you know, I've been to Forest Green myself and seen that it's not particularly fit for League One in terms of as a place, and I don't think the place is quite ready for it. I think it's fantastic that they've got to this level in English football. I think they should be incredibly proud of what they've achieved. However, when you look around you, it reminds you very much of having at Waterlooville. So, you know, it's, and that's not to be disrespectful, just to say that it does look a little bit out of place in a league like League One when you've got Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, Bolton, Pompey at the top of the division.
Yeah, I mean, let's get, they've set an extremely good example to...
And Peterborough play Shrewsbury as well.
Peterborough play Shrewsbury as well. There you go.
Away.
That's not an easy game.
But Shrewsbury are off the back of a 6-0 defeat to Charlton.
Yeah, but that's one of those anomalies in football, isn't it? You know, Liverpool beat United 7-0 when United are in like the form of their lives, but it's one of those things. I think I wouldn't read too much into that 6-0 defeat. I think it's a game where Charlton obviously set up and played extremely well and took all their opportunities, and Shrewsbury just weren't at the races for whatever reason. So I wouldn't read too much into that. I don't think that's going to really impact them going into the next game. I don't think that's going to sit in their mindset and cause them any problems. So it's not an easy game to go away to Shrewsbury, I don't think. There may be some points dropped there. It could be a tough draw. You would imagine that... Is it Peterborough playing Forest Green?
Derby playing Forest Green.
Yeah. Away. So you'd imagine that Derby would get the 3 points there. I know we've said, obviously, that Sheffield Wednesday went and lost there. And, you know, like we said, it's...
Derby
one of
in a terrible run of form, though. So they'll want to be putting that right as soon as they can.
Exactly right. Now, whether that's injury-related, physical fitness come the end of the season, management decisions, whatever it might well be that's causing that run of form, you know, that they do need to rectify that sooner rather than later. And playing someone like Forest Green away is an opportunity of getting that confidence built straight back up, isn't it?
Just finally then, if I could push you, do you think Pompey will do it?
Do I think Pompey will do it? I think that... Right now, I am more positive about us hitting the playoffs than I have been all season, excluding the first however many games up until the start of October. Mm-hmm. I think that we are in a really good place in terms of as a club, as a setup, in terms of confidence, in terms of the fan base. Everything at the moment seems very positive. So we're making up space every week we talk. We're getting closer and closer and closer. You know, when we first did this worst. Was it worst or better?
Best case, worst case. He went fifth is the best we can hope for, and I don't think we'll drop lower than 10th. And that still rings strong. That still stands as a valuable assessment, which is testament to the group, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we're not, now I look at it, we're not going to drop below 9th. And I really do think we've got an opportunity for 5th. I think there's no reason why we can't get to 5th. And in an ideal world, we want to get to 5th. I mean, either way, 5th or 6th, you're going to be playing someone like Barnsley or Ipswich. It's going to be a tough little run in that playoff zone, isn't it? Regardless of where you come.
It's a top four, isn't it? Well, any of the top four could realistically get up to the title.
Right, exactly right.
Game in hand for Barnsley.
Yeah, that game in hand for Barnsley is going to be vital, because if you look at it, if they win that game in hand, have they got a game in hand? They got a game in hand on Sheffield Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. So, but, you know, it's strange. Anyway, I'll take it as a yes.
Yes. I think we can get to the playoffs. I think we can get to 5th, and I think we could have a good run at it, and it would be really exciting for us to go do that. So, yeah, I'm not hopeful we'd get through the playoffs, considering the teams that are in there. But I think there's a really good opportunity for us to get there, which would be a massive achievement in itself.
And Ollie will probably be the first person to ring me to say, can you get me tickets for the playoffs and for Wembley? And that's not going to surprise me at all. Anyway,
it depends any other... Plymouth away, mate. If we're going to Plymouth away on our second leg, I might miss that one.
Come on. We've got to do that for old time's sake. Any other business in terms of footballing world? I wanted to bring up the breaking news tonight that Frank Lampard is said to have accepted the Chelsea job for until the end of the season. Yes, did you know that?
Can you imagine being in a place where your club has paid a manager off to leave, then bought in another manager to replace him that you wanted to have, to sack him to pay him off to get another manager that you wanted to have, to sack him for almost a world record fee, to bring in a manager that you didn't like because wasn't very successful for you in the first place. But in complete honesty, I don't think that's the worst thing for them, because I think Lampard, when he went there first time around, did a really good job. And I think the problem lied with Abramovich rather than Lampard. I think he was being micromanaged. There was rumours that I heard from a few Chelsea fans and friends of mine that said that he tried to leave in the summer when Abramovich was signing Werner and Havertz. And Lampard was very much against that. He said, we got a lot of very good youth players coming through. You know, we had Tammy Abraham playing all season in unbelievable form. You had obviously Rudiger playing it week in, week out. Who's the Tomori and right back? He was unbelievable for him. And they were all very young players coming through the academy that he was very much, you know, pushing to play. And they were in great form. They had a really good end to the season. And let's not, you know, forget when Frank left, even after that, they were still in the still in the Champions League and actually won the Champions League the season, which Lampard left. So I don't believe that he's a bad manager for him. He had a bit of a bad run at Everton, and obviously Daichi sorted that out since that point. But I do think that that's an opportunity for him to really... to go, you know what, like, I'm going to prove myself as a manager now. It's a weird situation for him to be in that place, but hopefully without the micromanagement, because they're owned by Americans now, aren't they, instead of Abramovich, hopefully he'll come true and prove himself. I don't know how you feel about it. What do you think?
I think we should chat about it when he's got the job, because it's now time for us to go here on the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. So we will leave that conversation for next week. And we'll make sure that you come back for more Frank Lampard conversation, because it is merely just speculation. At the time of recording, you might be listening and we might have completely preempted the news. Anyway, that's it from us. Thank you. Ollie's saying it might be time for Frank Lampard to step up to the plate and give it some in terms of managerial career. It's exactly what Pompey need to do over the next couple of weeks. And let's hope for a 6-point Pompey Easter weekend here. Let's hope for a 6-point Pompey Easter weekend. Thanks for watching, listening. Keep the faith. And as always,
play up, Pompey.